Before we let Paul's words go, he's often been criticized as he's pretty harsh and stubborn, and in some ways he is. He's focused on his goal, and out of love and compassion for those who are following Christ, he wants to set a good example based not on looking good, because he said that doesn't work, but on his convictions. His convictions. And his convictions go a little bit deeper than some of us. He says, I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of his resurrection and the participation in his sufferings. We get half of that. The other half we go, I don't want to participate in no suffering. He also talks about forgetting what is behind. He started this reading with the idea of my successes and ends up with the fact that I put it behind me because it wasn't successful at all. It was delusional. And he talks about straining forward. We want to know the power of Christ's resurrection, but we don't want to strain forward, and many of us can't forget the past. And so in that simple passage, he encourages us to press forward. We are not defined by our yesterdays. We are defined by who we are in God. He cloaks us with identity. And at times, we strain to move forward in this because life can be hard. But we sure got a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful for these. I'm thankful that God made squashes like that. That is too cool. I'm sorry, if you're watching this via Facebook, you can't see the images that often go with these messages, but it's two squashes, and they both have beaks on them with eyes, and they're in the form of swans. God makes awesome things in the world. And at this time of the year, he gives us a harvest, in particular pumpkins, because for me, all of you know, they make this pie, right? I'm absolutely thankful for what he creates, how he creates it. It's amazing, amazing. Now, many of you are relatively new to Canada, meaning in the last 20 years, and you wouldn't quite understand what this image is fully, but this is a picture of the Horn of Plenty. And in olden times in Europe, you would have a big one of those on your back out in the harvest field. And as you went along and harvested, you'd be throwing the fruits and the vegetables over your back to fill this up on your back, and then you would take it and dump it into a bigger vat. And so this is really how this came about when Europe brought its Thanksgiving Harvest Sunday, which is celebrated even today throughout Europe. They didn't have a Thanksgiving per se, but they had a Harvest Thanksgiving, kind of like in Southeast Asia, you have the Harvest Moon and you have the moon cakes and that sort of thing. But this is how this ended up on many of our tables growing up in Canada. It's a remembrance of where that came from, but not necessarily where it ended up. Europeans have exported this idea all over the world, and thank God people have embraced it. We need a day to be thankful, to give thanks, to remember what we're thankful for. And so today I encourage you in everything, all of it, from the first beginnings until the last moments of your life, you give thanks. What is God's will for our lives? 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. What's his will? That you have no power over you? That you have no oppressive force controlling you? In Christ, we have freedom. But God gives us a key to that, which is in every situation, the power to that key, opening up that freedom from oppression, is to give thanks. It's as clear as day there in Scripture. Give thanks. Sometimes, when life is good, no. In all circumstances, wherever you find yourself, there's power and freedom in giving thanks. How should we do this? And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So how do we give thanks? In word and deed. In the Bible, the concept of thanks and thanksgiving is mentioned 118 times. 72 of those times says, say it, sing it, shout it, dance it out. It's an action. It's a verb. Psalm 69:30-32 talks about magnifying God with thanksgiving. God, I don't understand where the situation's going, but I give you thanks right now because I know you're here with me. You're already moving in this. You are moving this to fulfill a promise that you have said for all of your people, that I will use every situation in your life for greater good. I thank you, God, that you're already using the situation for greater good. Not to satisfy my emotionalism, but for the greater good that's lasting. People forget that when they give thanks. God, I give you thanks because I'm happy. God, it's hard because I'm not happy and I don't really give you full thanks. Life is not ultimately about happiness. This is a lie that our society propagates through every vehicle. People care more about what they can achieve, what they invest their time in, and what is more lasting than being able to overcome hurdles. That doesn't mean that life is not filled with happiness, but if your ultimate pursuit is to be just happy, you will not be full of thanksgiving because your life has not been put through the pressure of the grapevine that Jesus talks about. We need something to aspire to, something to rise to, something to move forward in, to struggle with God, to experience the joys of God. That, when we're thankful for that to God, we magnify the presence of God in our life. When we always look for happiness in God and we find disappointment, we make the power of God limited. And the Christian pursuit becomes unsatisfactory. Disappointments predominantly, but a few moments where you're happy. Life is not about happy. It's about setting goals and reaching them with God to answer the call of his will in your life. And when you see that and you start to thank him for everything, you magnify God in your life, as Psalm 69 says. You make them bigger. You don't reduce them. You don't make them smaller because you're not happy. You make them bigger. We talked about how big is God in light of the universe a few weeks ago. It's that size God that we're giving thanks to. We're magnifying him in our thanksgiving to the level of who he really is. He holds the universe in the palm of his hands. Well, knowing who to give thanks to and why. We give thanks to God. If you can't find anything or anyone else to be thankful for in life, you start with God and you'll see you have a lot to be thankful for in things and people and situations. If you start it with the magnification of thanking God first and then thinking about those other things later. Psalm 7:17 says, I will give to the Lord the thanks due to his righteousness. Last week we talked about there is no one good, Jesus said, only the Father in heaven. Then what are we that we should be do-gooders? We are in his right standing. Because of his right standing, we can experience perfection. I give God thanks for that because I know myself outside of his right standing, what I'm capable of. Thank you, God, for your righteousness. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34. He's right in right standing. He shares that right standing with us. He immerses us in it. He gives us an identity, and he's good to his people, desiring that none should perish. Deuteronomy 8:17-18 says, beware, lest you say in your heart as you sit at your table or wherever you sit this weekend to celebrate Thanksgiving, my power and my hand have gotten me this wealth that I can display it on my table, on my door, on my porch, and amongst my friends and my family. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. Everything we have, we know, comes from God, the God who contains the universe between the span of his two fingers. Everything we have is on loan, that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to your fathers as it is this day. He made a promise a long time ago that he would care and be good and righteous with his people, a covenant, no contract. A covenant implies that whatever we decide to do, he will be faithful. A contract implies if one side is not faithful, the other is not entitled or required to be faithful. He has made a promise to bless us, not just with stuff, but most importantly with his presence and his right standing within us. He made that promise thousands of years ago, and he's fulfilling it in your life right now. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Paul talks about moving from glory unto glory, and so he says, I'll press on, and I'll take hold of that prize because I know 2 Corinthians 2:14 is true. God always leads his people in triumph forward. Whatever it looks like, wherever you think it's going, it's probably not, but it's going forward and it's going to end in a good place. And so how should we give thanks? And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. God, I got this brutal test in my life right now, but I give you thanks because I know you're working through it. God, I don't know about my finances. This is hard. I'm about to lose my house, but however my life blows up, I know in you I'll land on my feet. Keep me open to that thought always. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. You just don't do it in word and deed, say thanks, God. You do it in word and song, and we did that this morning. We continue to do that. Sing it until you feel it, even if you don't believe it in the moment. Sing it out. Listen to it sung if you're worried about hearing your own voice. Put a CD on. Do what you got to do. If you have nothing else, look it up on the internet, a favorite song of yours about Thanksgiving, and just read the words until you believe it. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully. Not quietly mutter to ourselves because we ought to. Thanks, God. Amen. Sometimes, though, it's just a whisper. It's a sigh because the enemy has come against you, and all you can say is, whatever, thanks God. But we don't leave it there. Joy comes in the morning, says the psalmist. We shout joyfully because we have the victory already, if we can't already see it. That's the promise of Psalm 95 too. So let's shout joyfully to him with psalms. This thankfulness should spill over. In 1 Chronicles 16, 8, it says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known to all people. When you're only a quarter full of thanks, and you're three quarters full of your pride, you're not compelled to tell people about how good God is. It's not in you to do that. There's no motivation. If you're full of thanks, it spills over, says Scripture. Of course. You're so full of thanks, you can't contain it. You got to tell somebody. I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful what God's doing in my life. I can't believe, looking back, where I've come from. And as Paul says, I'm just looking forward to the future, what it all holds for me, because God's so faithful. Psalm 9:1, I will give you thanks, Lord, with all my heart, all of it. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. When you give your whole heart to being thankful, you are full of thanks, and it will spill down and run over. And so we learn that thanksgiving is sacrificial, but at times it's sacrifice too. Psalm 69 says, 30:31, I will praise God's name in song. There's the song again. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord more than an ox, more than a bull with its horns and hooves. And if I could translate it today, a thankful, praising heart is more precious to God from his people than all the tithes you could put in an offering plate, all the consistencies you can be to take part in a church community, to do good in your community. God cares more about your praise and your thanksgiving towards him because he knows that will spill out into all those other areas and make them that much richer. Jonah 2:9, but I, with shouts of grateful praise, thank you, God, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, will sacrifice to you. I offer the best of me. That's what sacrifice means. I offer not the worst or half of me. I give you all of it. Thank you. What I have vowed, I will make good. I will say the salvation comes from the Lord alone. Sometimes it's hard to sacrifice praise. Sometimes life is overwhelming, and pressures and people and situations have overwhelmed you, and it's hard to say you sacrifice your thanksgiving. God, I'm gritting my teeth today, but I'm saying thank you. And I know when gritting my teeth, I should release my teeth and let it go, but there's that fleshly side of me that doesn't want to let it go. But I will say thank you until I believe it. I won't stop until I mean it and my heart is full. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. It's his will. He knows where a thankful heart leads. And so what can we conclude from today's message? There is giving thanks. When somebody gives you something, you go, thank you for that. But there's no connection. There's no community. Thank you, God, that you saved my soul. Thank you, God, for making me whole. But that doesn't mean you're in relationship with God or anyone else because you said thanks. Giving thanks should fill you with thanks that, wow, you were there for me when I needed you to be. You thought of me when I thought nobody was thinking of me. You invested into me when I didn't even invest in myself. You saw what I was capable of when I couldn't get beyond my own emotions of the day. I'm full of thanks. But that's still not a relationship. This next leads you to thanksgiving. Because someone did it for me, I'll pay it forward. It's still not relationship, though. You did it for me. Thank you, but I'm not connected to you. I'm going to do it for you. If I want you connected to me, fine. I would expect you to say thanks and live it out. But I'm not going to do that for God. I say thank you, God, for what you've done for me, and I give it to other people because I'm grateful, but I have no relationship. Do you understand what I mean? There's no relationship. It's narcissistic. You're still at the center of yourself. Thanksgiving, ultimately, though, leads to thanks living. I don't know why the words aren't right up there. Thanksgiving ultimately leads to thanks living. In every moment when I wake up, thank you, Lord. At noontime, thank you, Lord. At the end of the day, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. That kind of living is in relationship with God. Our lives begin by saying thank you. Our lives begin and end with thanks living.